Okay.
Mayor Schultz, here. Vice Mayor George.
Here.
Alderman Adler.
Here.
Alderman Cooper.
Here.
Alderman Duncan.
Here.
Alderman Ultraman.
Here.
Alderman Phillips.
Here.
Okay, all present, now physically present, yes, please. But because we don't have a lot of the public here, I'd still like to read this statement. A determination by the board that meeting electronically and prohibiting the physical presence of the public at the meeting is necessary to protect public health, safety, and welfare of all concerned in light of the COVID-19 virus. And let me add to that, I think all of you know that the county mayor extended the mask mandate to the September 30th. But reference the statement I just read, I'll ask for your concurrence, starting with Alderman Cooper.
I affirm.
Thank you. Alderman Duncan.
I affirm.
Thank you. Alderman Phillips.
I affirm.
Thank you. Alderman Adler.
I affirm.
Thank you. Alderman Olderman.
I affirm.
Thank you. Vice Mayor. Thank you. I do also. That makes it unanimous. Mr. City Manager, carry on.
All right, we have two presentations on the work session agenda for this evening. The first one is our quarterly update from the Economic Development Board and from Networks. And Craig Dennison, the chairman of the Economic Development Board, will come to the podium and give us an update on how things are going.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
The last quarter was mainly focused on things that were going on with Project Smokey or Domtar. In July, we did not have a meeting, but in August, we actually approved the resolution for the Domtar pilot, subject to legal review because there were still some general things that had to be tied down. And we also approved the state fast track grant for Domtar, which was the $1.5 million grant that they had offered. Then in September, following through on those things, we actually had the final version of the pilot that we had approved, that you all have also approved here. And we had a couple of, we just had one approval of a redevelopment grant to JHL Enterprises at 906 East Center Street, which is where Abel Printers moved and redid those buildings next to plaques, etc. We also had the establishment of the Brickyard Park General Shell Property Development Task Force, which you all heard from in some of your previous meetings already. At that point, that's really all we've had the last couple of meetings. Open it up for any questions you might have.
Craig, first, on behalf of the board, I'd like to thank you and your board for your efforts on Project Smokey. I think it was as good a deal as we're going to get, all things considered, and you all played a vital role in it. And then before I open it up to my colleagues here, I want to say that we also, this board, puts a lot of importance on the redevelopment of the old General Shale property, also known as Brickyard Park. So, you know, life goes on.
But, I mean, that's been a, you know, as you look back on a lot of things that you do, you know, that property was purchased to kind of tie into the plan of downtown. And as time went and some things changed, kind of within the sporting arena and some other things, in some of the priorities of the city, there was some direction through the committees that were together and some of the recommendations to point it towards the direction that it's going right now. And I think that's a very strong a project for the city, not only from a residential standpoint, but from a, I call it having fun outside with some of the outdoor areas that are going to be there. Tied in with the ball fields, the Miracle Field, and the outdoor venue that's going to be there. So looking forward to seeing that continue on.
Craig, I guess this is neither here or there, but all the board just toured what will be the new City Hall, And when you go into the back of the building and you look out in the windows, you can look out toward Brickyard Park and Cement Hill and all that, and you can kind of envision how wonderful that can be someday. So again, that, we put a lot of importance on that.
Well, that building building is somewhat near and dear to me. When I was in college, I worked construction with Lyle Construction, who built that building.
Yeah,
it had some technology in it that was state of the art at the time. Then I worked there when it was First American Bank. It was on the sixth floor and looked out that direction. So it's definitely a facility that the city can be proud of and be efficient to work in, too.
Yeah. Well, let me open it up to my colleagues. So do you all have questions or comments for Mr. Dennison? Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I've got my mouth full, but there ain't nothing unusual about that.
I
try to keep up the best I can, even hearsay and otherwise, about the other group that's trying to sort of mingle into the network's business and everybody else's business. And I'm just wondering, how's those negotiations going? Are y'all holding their feet to the fire? And
well, from my perspective, KEDB's not involved in that at all. Clay definitely can talk to that from a network's perspective because, you know, back when networks was created and we split apart the functionality of KEDB from actually development to some of the other activities that we do today, I could have answered it back then, but at this point, that falls in Clay's world.
We'll come back to that in Clay.
Okay.
Yeah.
No problem. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Anybody even asked a question?
Got anything for Mr. Dennison?
It would be good if we would name things more positive than the speaking project.
I don't know where that came from.
We don't get the name. That came from the company. And it was about Tennessee versus other states. So it's about the smoking out.
Rocky Top Smoky Mountains. Smoky Mountains. Yeah. Smoky is the name of UT's dog.
Yeah, I know, but somehow taken in context, it'd be nice to have a name somehow.
Project
Running. Anti-smoky or something.
Yes.
But no, I think y'all are doing good.
Board, anybody else? Well, thank you, Craig.
Thank you.
You got off easy, but you're doing some good stuff.
Well, as I'm walking off, you mentioned it too, through that process. The one that carried the heavy water bill was the city staff and networks as far as running all the numbers. Michael Parker did a fantastic job related to
the
city.
We praise Chris, but we do that too much, we won't be able to get him in the door.
Well, sometimes you just have to tell the truth. So,
Go ahead, Mr. City Manager.
I'll turn it over to Clay now with networks, give you an update on projects and other things of interest with networks. Clay?
Okay, yeah, I too would like to say, you know, a lot of time was spent on Domtar, and I'm glad Craig clarified when he said networks that Michael Parker was our lead and the heavy lifter on that. And I'm sorry, Mayor, but I got to also tell you, Chris McCart, I mean, those guys, I was so impressed with the work a lot of people did, but those two people particularly. Alderman George, the name of the projects, T.O. knows a lot about this, and they usually come from the state or whoever brought you the lead, or in this case, it came from the company. But every now and again, at the community level, you get to name a project. And the one I'm most proud of, I don't have a lot to talk about, so I'll just go on looking. One I'm most proud of, I once, in Gallatin, I worked a project, this pharmaceutical company, and they were going to have a call center and front office in front of the building, and then they kind of had a back entrance that where all the drugs were distributed from. And by, so I called it Project Mullet. The business in the front and the party in the back. So maybe it's best if we just let because Smokey isn't so bad. You know, this week is race week, and that normally means if I would have gotten an email, can you come this week? I go, oh, God, I guess I can. But because of COVID, we're not doing the traditional red carpet tour. Consultants are not traveling unless it's with projects, if at all. But we are having some folks from Tennessee Economic and Community Development and some other people we want to say thanks to come up and be our guest at the race, but it's going to be a much more relaxing experience for the staff and me. But we are, again, with COVID, we've been doing consulting calls via Zoom, and we're Zoom, I think everybody has Zoom fatigue, and you read a lot about that. The upside to Zoom is you can do one meeting that ends at 2 and start another one at 2 and not have to worry about what end of the county I'm going to be on. I can keep making those meetings. That's about the only positive thing I see. And I'll be glad when we all get to get out and get in person with people. Most of the projects that we're working are, they're kind of spread out, but we've been seeing a lot of food projects and talking to site consultants who, if there's any sector going strong, it's that. It's also, I mentioned Project Mullet. We are seeing some pharmaceuticals. I think, you know, the Commissioner Roth has about every 2 or 3 months, here have calls with 3 sections of the state, just through conference call and tell us what's going on now in this, since COVID has kind of changed everything. And we're working with the state. They've identified a lot of industry sectors that they think will be reshored coming out of this. And certainly we don't want to be dependent on necessary medicines coming from overseas, particularly China. And I think we're going to see a lot more of those projects and automotive as well. But we're working on just trying to stay with our existing industry. I don't know if y'all saw the news about TRW down in Hawkins County. Name just jumped in my head, but a Washington County company just closed down as well. Of course, they got 2 nice hits in Washington and then in Unicoi County the past month. And we're working on some projects we hope to have some announcements on in the upcoming months. But activity is down. But not as badly as one might think. I'd say we're down to where we're working about 70% of the projects we normally would be working. But we're meeting with our industries a lot more. We're going to have, you know, I don't like doing golf outings. It just seems so unoriginal to me to do. But Michael Parker and Ronnie Price, Ronnie heads up our existing industry, talked to a lot of companies. And we're going to do a golf outing with our companies, not to have any agenda, just we know what they're going through, and we won't give them a day out and just show them we appreciate them and just have some fun, and we're going to give them surprises, things like that. I talked to one company today about coming. She's like, well, I don't know. What do you have, host sponsors? So I said, they're used to getting up. I said, I'm not asking for any money. We're not taking money. We're just going to go golf. Oh, yeah, I'll be up for that. I mean, they thought I was hitting them up for something. Craig covered what most of the activity has been focused on, and we have been working, Tommy, as you point out, about the regional effort. I don't know where it's going to end. We had a meeting last week, and we did not, there was an MOU that was in our packet that I wish I knew exactly who approved or didn't approve, but I wasn't at the leadership meeting that it was decided, so I don't know. But our board, by and large, thought that it did not reflect the MOU that they want to move forward with. So we'll just keep hammering at it. I do think that it's, again, I can't reiterate enough that there's a lot more collaboration with the two organizations that are talking now day in, day out, then there's competition. And I think when you examine that, I've always been a proponent of regionalism and approach. If it's the right way and everybody truly is represented and wins properly. Otherwise, wins properly is stupid. Everybody's represented properly and their interests are always front and center for them. It's not asking somebody to take a back seat for the good of everybody else. That's not what it should be about. And until we get to that model, we're better off staying where we are. So I know that it can be done, and whether or not we can do it here remains to be seen. And if not, it's not like, I think we got a good system with good people in it. We got some great talent working in both ends of this county. And, you know, I'm like Matt Blazing said, you know, I'm Mongo just pawn in Game of Life. That's how I feel about these things. I'm just kind of waiting to see what others determine our future to be, I guess.
I know that, you know, obviously the air industry has taken a huge hit, but with Aerospace Park, do we still, I mean, you know, in terms of a lot of things are being shipped, have we had any interest out there, or has the changes in that industry kind of backed you up a little bit more on that?
That's a great question, and yes, it definitely has slowed. And, you know, where we had the most interest was about a year ago when we were still talking to companies, but they knew we were a year away from getting the park done. And now it's slowed, and we're staying in touch with those folks, but they kind of pulled back until they... I don't think they're going away. I think they're just slowing down those projects. But we had a couple of other ones come up, and But just to be blunt, they're all moving very slowly right now. But I think that's a temporary thing. I really do. You know, the military's doing some things that contracts go down in some companies, and we're watching those companies that are competing for those contracts, and we try to stay in touch with them. And other ways of identifying companies that we think could be going in spite of whatever's going on in the commercial aerospace projects. And I will say that, again, our partners out there, Gene Cossey, of course, Airport Executive Director, and Mark Canty, who is their marketing specialist, or marketing director, I should say. Mark has made himself an expert in that industry sector. In our office, again, Michael works very closely with Mark, as do I. But Mark's done a great job through LinkedIn. He's worked that medium, that platform, better than anybody I know, forming relationships. And we've been marketing that park before we knew we would get the money, get it funded, because that's what you've got to do. But I do think it could slow down the landing, getting the big hit. But it has not dampened my enthusiasm about it. I think it's still going to be successful. We just might be a year, 2 years later than we had hoped to be.
Well, we're the big industry, I mean, the big...
We are, but when you look at some of the companies we've targeted and where they are set up for their hubs, their air hubs, they're pretty embedded close enough to us that I doubt that. But you don't know what the next big thing's going to be, you know? So it could very well be that. Yeah, we are. I mean, logistics distribution... is already a target of ours, whether it be air or because of our intersecting interstates. And you know, everybody talks about their location being within 2/3 of the population. I've never been in a community that isn't within 2/3 of the U.S. population. It's just kind of, so it doesn't mean as much as you might think. But what is important is how accessible are you to that 2/3. And with our interstates where we're sitting, it's not hard to get to all the markets, so we do feel that's an advantage in that regard. I also like that distribution models are changing, because they used to be the million square feet, and you need this big flat piece of earth that, like the Home Shopping Network, HSN Distribution Center, and we don't have a lot of those. But now, more and more with advancing their technology, they're moving things up and down, rather side to side, so they're going up taller and taking up less footprint, which could bode well for us and our topography. So I do think that's a sector, not just at the airport, but anywhere.
One other question. I know that the county had, you know, kind of set aside $4 million for the west side to do, you know, an economic development project.
Yep.
And how are you all, have you identified any land that looks really promising? Are you
I think we have.
Things in the pipeline to utilize that money before it goes away?
Well, it's not going to go away because we haven't tapped it and we haven't gotten any match that gives it a time limit on this $4 million. But we'd like to get it going by, you know, strike while iron's hot, right? But I think with Chris's has some really good creative ideas to where that might apply. And he's talked to me about some projects that we haven't... We kind of got delayed with a project that could use that, and so that's kind of woke up as to how we would do it. But once we know for sure about that, we're going to look at moving forward with whether or not we can make that work. Did I say that adequately, Chris?
Yeah, you did a good job, Clay.
Thanks. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah,
I said a lot without saying anything, didn't I?
Clay. Back to the TRW property, so we know they're closing the plant. And what's the next step? Does the company intend to sell the plant?
Actually, of course, we don't do existing industry. It's not our contract with Hawkins County, but whether we did any marketing for any county, again, the spirit of regionalism, how we, Tommy knows about the, that's not a competitive, you know, we're not trying to. So there's no conflict of interest with us trying to help them. So we've extended our offer to whatever we can do. And I can't say anything yet, but I think there might be a better solution moving forward. And we might have something that could work out there. But if it goes by the wayside and this thing doesn't come through, you put it on all the sites and you get to market. But we don't know exactly enough information to, you know, actively have it in inventory or to consider inventory. It would be in our inventory anyway. It was not to expand, but we would still help them with it.
Okay. Board, do you all have any other questions for Mr. Walker?
When's y'all's next meeting on with NetReps? Is that monthly? Or it seems like, you know, it just moves at a snail's pace. Probably to all of us, and when we talked about it and heard about it, but it just seems like it's, you know, it's always kind of...
It's all of you. Just see how it feels to me.
Yeah.
I don't know, Darrell. I mean, I don't know.
One thing I'm just hoping is that we don't let them get out front on this thing.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you mean by that, Tom. Out in front, and they're setting.
I mean, that they don't take over and run the whole deal.
Well, I mean, they can't quote unquote take over networks, but there is a. I mean, I don't know. You know,
well,
I mean,
it just seems to me like that there's a move on to try.
I wish I were more in tune to everything going on but I'm not.
That's only my personal observation of it.
I don't know that you're wrong. It's just hard to say. I mean,
because we got too much time, too much invested in that thing to let a bunch of these young whippersnappers come in there and think that they can run it better than you professionals can.
Well, I don't...
When they've done nothing in economic development that I know of.
Well, I mean, I think from what I've read with people, you know, most people involved, I think, are well-intended. I don't think everybody is well-informed, to your point. But
I'm not trying to stir anything up. Okay. I just want you to be conscious of it.
But we're always protecting our communities and our organization's interests. Again, I've told leaders in both cities that I'm not going to go and endorse and advise you to move forward with any type of plan to where I don't think each city does better. Not two of the three might do better, but overall we do better. Sure, that's where everybody does better. And that's when regionalism is done. That's what happens. So I don't know. I agree with what, you know, I think what just what you're saying, and certainly with what Daryl's saying, this thing, I submitted a plan that we sit down both boards about 2 years ago. And that's kind of, I think I've written four of them now and they've been dismissed. So I'm just kind of, well, y'all tell me when you have a plan. I can only write this so many ways.
Anybody else got something for Clay? Well, okay, Clay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Greg.
Appreciate y'all very much. Appreciate you.
I forgot to bring up, which is we talked about it, gosh, it seems like 3 or 4 months ago, but out in Pittsburgh, with our joint venture out there, we had sold a lot to Tabco, which is adjacent to their property. They were going to expand and put some automation to where they can handle larger pieces of a product, per se. And it went through a long process. There were some environmental concerns. All that stuff was handled. That transaction finally closed. It's about $71,000 that's coming back into Pittsburgh joint venture from a standpoint of working capital, so that was very positive for that entity. So I wanted to let you know that actually got finalized.
On the Pittsburgh, I think they were talking some about some of the roads going into that. The paving is getting fairly older, and they're going to look at, you know, maybe putting some money into that and kind of get the roads repaved.
I haven't heard that from since our last meeting, so that may be something that's on Larry Elkins is the chairman of that board, so he may bring that up next time.
I've heard some that they, you know, like they don't want to let it go too long, it'll be a lot bigger.
Oh, yeah,
so
well.
One of the roads out there, I mean, I know there's two in and out,
so
something, one of them may need
a piece of paper. Yeah, it could, and you know, they've done a good job since the time I've been on that board. When I became chairman of KEDB, that put me on theirs. And they stay on it pretty well. You know, one of the big things out there was the water system, the water utility, and the tank. And that's finally gotten all resolved through who actually owns it, you know, all that stuff. So Joel spent a lot of time on this. All that's done. We deeded the property that it sits on to the utility and whatnot. So, and got some other grant money from them to put some improvements, because you lose water out there and you've got a big problem. They've done some nice work on that. But I'll check on the roads. I hadn't heard anything about that.
I don't know I'm not sure where that came from, but I thought I heard something. Some conversation somewhere that.
Yeah.
Then I've been sitting there or something. So.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you all for coming back.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks. Thanks, Clay.
Thank you. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. Next item we have is one kind of got a first phase tour of before the work session today and touring the new City Hall on Broad Street. A few years ago, Jeff Fleming kind of went down this path, asked Ryan to kind of be the project manager to look at facility needs. Ryan has done a very good job taking a data approach to this, using data to kind of make the decisions for us. We've been very pleased with everything that we've been able to pull together with this. And so We're going to talk a little bit tonight about the next phase, which has to do with the Justice Center. And I'll help Ryan get his PowerPoint loaded here.
Thank you. If there's a big switch to flip, I can do it.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the overheads.
I'll help you boys if y'all need.
There you go.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right. I guess we've talked about this in our one-on-ones, but this is the first time we can discuss it and walk through it together. And really, the intent of the presentation, there's really no decision at this point, is to kind of show you what we've been doing for about 18 months, working with the police department, trying to understand really as we move the court system across the parking lot to the Justice Center, you know, are there long-term implications that need to be thought through? So the priority of this presentation, number one, guidance on City Hall property. That's to just show you where our thoughts are on this. The decision points for a lot of those things we're going to see here in the future, and there'll be plenty of time to weigh in on what is the best. But this is just where we're at that point. Number two is to discuss what we see as phase one space utilization for the police department. And Chief is here as well. He and his group have been actively involved. Again, we're at like 20,000 feet. When we move further into it, it'll be much more detailed. But I've learned a lot, and I think it's been very good for us to talk about this before we put plans together and finalize stuff. So phase one, space utilization for the police department. And then number three is a longer-term look. And I'll be quite honest, when the consultant came through, she was very impressed at how efficient, I guess this would be the most positive way to say it, how efficient the police department operates within their square feet. That's probably the most best way to describe their situation over there. It's just, we think of it as a new building, but I think we're thinking it's plus 30 years old at this point.
I think we moved in 88 or 89.
And so that's a third of a century pushing. So it's not necessarily a new building.
I know you were saying that the staff doesn't need a decision from the board at this point, but I would like to say to the board that if y'all have reservations or concerns, now's a good time to get it out there, because these projects, you know, they can be multiple years, and the board changes over every 2 years. So it's up to us to be to make sure that we think on behalf of our citizens, we think this thing's headed in the right direction or not.
You've got to, so kind of along those lines, this would be a milestone that we look back to. And if there is those type of great reservations, then we need to go in a different direction with this milestone.
It's nice to paint an American flag on that.
We could do that.
With the blue line down the middle. I mean, it's a big place, and I think it'd be a good place for it to paint one.
Probably avoid the warranty on the roof.
It's been
35
years
since
I've been anyway.
Just to give some form and function and structure to the presentation, I was just reviewing. So I haven't gone back and described why we're moving everything where we are. But one of the most foundational pieces to all of these moves is to provide our court system a safe, adequate space. With that said, that moved us to those activities over at the Justice Center. Sorry, Tommy.
That's all right.
Turn my phone off.
I'll call you. I got you. Then.
There, Tommy's calling you. Yeah. To give you some tips on what to say.
That's right. And as it relates to floor one, the two biggest things we were looking at was, again, as I mentioned, space utilization, and two is security. I don't think my pointer projects all the way to the screen, but as you enter the first floor, a lot of focus was how do we secure that area? How do we provide the bailiffs a much more secure situation for everyone that's coming into the Justice Center? And the second item, and I'll point to the bottom to go straight up from there, is the second entrance, is how do we create a situation in that back parking lot where the judges, the DA's employees and the police department, the sheriff's deputies have a safe, secure location to enter the facility as well. Both those are very important. And so it kind of drove us over to an area that is boxed in, that we are doing improvements on the first floor, not only the addition. And what you see closest to Alderman Adler is the addition. It's a bump out over into the Justice Center City Hall parking lot. And it definitely includes, and I'm not going to be able to point at the screen, but I point close to it. It includes a security secured entry for all those participating, the public participating in the activities. But most of the room that was added is geared toward the court system. That's the court clerk's offices. And there was a, I'll say a fairly small amount that was allowed for the police department on the part going toward the parking lot. On the part over by the jail, which is located right here, one of the priority items that the consultant came up with was creating a second entry or a dedicated entry for our customers of the jail. And they come to the jail through the elevator. They are secure when they get into the jail. But they're unsecure when they bond or bail out, I guess that's the correct term, they're a free citizen. And so presently they're being dropped off out that back door. And she was very adamant that we create an exit so we can secure that back parking lot other than that shared back door. So what we have done is we've actually, and it's up from my pointer, but we have eaten into a portion of the police department's daily activities with a lobby that you can do all the bonding activity that better utilizes the jail and allows our customers to leave anytime they so desire, and our police department allows them to, onto the street, not into the area where the policemen are. So that's the biggest change in the first phase. So the second phase, one of the premises of the Justice Center is the highest use of the square footage over there, highest value is whether it's the first floor police department, second floor courts, is legal. We had quite a large section of it that's located in this corner that was dedicated to our IT department. And if y'all went on the tour, you saw where we have them in the sixth floor, so we removed them. And that allowed us then to take all the activities that we are doing over here and to replicate them over there with a much better situation for our judges. So there's two new courtrooms. One with a juried court, one with that they do more of the family court, a smaller setting, two judges' offices and their administration, a jury delivery room, and then we also have rooms for clients and their attorneys to meet in as they wait for their time to come before the judge. So that was the original scope of the expansion, and then another court clerk's offices over the entryway. So that was the scope of phase two. And
the downstairs where we're adding on, we're also adding on upstairs.
Right? That's right.
That's what this is here. Okay.
That's right. If you see that concaved wall, presently that's a window.
Gotcha.
So we're going to fill that up with the second. There's actually two different courts, and Michael might know the names of them, Circuit and Chancellery, and they have their own clerks and their own offices as well. Is that correct?
Yes.
So they all have independent functions of each other. So anyway, we had to provide the space for the clerks, both courts, and the judges' offices. With all that said, we're at a point, since we're almost ready for a final design, that if we went out in the parking lot a little bit more, it would satisfy some of the ones that are being placed over there a little better. So if you don't like what I'm saying about the master plan, let me know, because then we'll stay solely in the confines of this box. But if it's okay that we're going to reutilize that parking lot for city use later, and I'll show you in the last slide, then we can push out a little bit more into that parking lot. So phase one, as we mentioned, the programming, we have taken the space that we added for the police, the jail, and took it from their investigation area, and we've added, rearranged different components and divisions of the police department. And from 20,000 feet, we have reset them within floor one. But that isn't what they ultimately need. There's still activities that they're doing in the basement. There's evidence area, the city court. There's a lot of areas that are past the critical state of being just jam-packed that we need to begin casting a vision toward what does the Justice Center 2.0 look like for the police department. And so that's what we asked the consultant to do, you know, ultimately how many square feet would be needed. And then she came back with a phase two programming that would require about 18,000 more additional feet than we presently have. And another thing that she did when laid this out, is just the flow of that department as well. As an example, if you're doing investigation or meeting with witnesses or citizens, you want to do that closer to the entryway. So you structure those type activities to consider security and consider the functionality of what they do more. But we reconfigured the activities in the existing first floor. And then we also, while she doesn't have it designed, it was in programming stage, we also saw that the only true opportunity for expansion of the Justice Center was building a second building in their back parking lot and then tying the two buildings together. And when you do that, though, you've pretty much eaten up their parking. One of the priorities, even in the first phase, is to create secure parking for the police and the judges and some of the DA staff and those type people. So when we have eaten up all that space, then it logically goes to the conclusion that the space we're occupying right now and the parking lot that exists right now would be best served as that secured parking for the Justice Center. Now, what the details of that are from now to that point can be worked out. As an example, Center Street has a lot of value. It's highly desired frontage. There's a chance between now and then that we can figure out some public-private partnership where we are able to obtain what we need is parking, secured parking, that is the police department, sheriff's office, judges, but on the front edge we might have some commercial shops. I can't tell you what the details are. Really, the data point that I need the blowback on is that as we move forward, we don't need to consider selling the property we're on at this point in time. Now, there's a giant asterisk there. If the county court was to consolidate in Blountville, then we wouldn't need to build 18,000 square feet of new police station. We would flow upward, and we would be able to maintain our presence within the space we got. But so then we would be able to market this space. Mary, you had a question?
Center Street, the gray area just beyond the bushes.
Yes, I'm sorry. Let me orient you. Center Street is above my laser. Shelby is running here. Market is on this side. Another thing that we would like to push out in phase one is securing the perimeter of the Justice Center, whether it's phase one or phase two. This is just something that we're familiar with what we see every day. When the consultant came, she is much more familiar with creating justice centers that have a much more buffer between the traveling public and the building itself. So there would be some things we would want to do in phase one. If you see, we've removed on-street parking. We've bumped the curb line out. In fact, I didn't show you all this earlier, but this was my my rendering, I asked them to do of actually creating a parklet between the parking garage and the Justice Center. And the purpose of it really from our side would be to create that buffer, but it would allow for really a more natural passage from the parking garage into the Justice Center and back. That's not to say this. All of these are just some master plan schematics to say these are the things we think are the highest use of this property as we stand right now. Any other questions?
Yeah, I know when that building was designed a mere 37 years ago, it was designed to go up to a third level. And, you know, when we started down this path, the big thing was that this was also not going to cost the taxpayers because we were going to sell the property we had to pay for the expansion. And we've not done any of that. And, you know, this building would, I mean, this location has a lot of value,
yes,
which, of course, we're now turning into a parking lot. So is there, I mean, the cost of building that whole 18 in that footprint, which is, you know, is it that much cheaper than going up when it was designed to go up?
We could pursue one problem that would create is you would have a police department on one and a portion of them on three, but we could pursue with the architect that thought. The nice thing is there's no decision points. We are still a long way away of moving the courts over there. I just wanted to peel back before we got too far down the road what we've been looking at. But that's a good thought. That's something that we could pursue. What we had always heard is if you're taking the full footprint and coming up, you'd have to remove all your HVAC and all these other things. But if you're taking a portion of the footprint and coming up, I could pursue with the architect the possibility of that.
I mean, parking is such, I mean, we need more parking, and all this does is remove all the parallel parking, close down a road, give up this building, and reduce all the parking we have. And when you have more courts, you know, it seems to me like we're going to need more parking. We started down the path for a reason, and I get that this is a great project. But, you know, these are taxpayer dollars, and we really looked at while we said we were buying regions was for a lot of, you know, convenience, obviously, but there was savings in the long run, and we were going to put things back on the taxpayer rolls, and we've yet to do that. And
yeah, we've got to vacate, so Midland and Improvement would be the first two, and this one definitely had a high value, and its value is not in this building. It's in the center street.
It's the location. I mean, yeah, you don't want the building, but...
So there's as we walk down this, it might be that the feedback that there's kind of a win-win in that. Could be a public-private partnership where...
But you're doing away with all the parking. I mean, well, even the bump out, the extra bump out, you were reducing what parking, unless you end up doing a parking garage...
We've got our existing garage that's not seldom half full.
Yeah, and all you hear is about people complaining about no parking, and there's times when they are doing courts that...
It's still, the upper levels are there.
Once you get past the covered area, you hardly ever get cars. In fact, we've closed a portion of it just because of sight lines, and I'm not quite sure anyone really knows that we've done it. I mean, we did that months ago.
City Hall parking... I'm saying that the parking part of that, I mean, I kind of agree what you're saying, but the City Hall parking won't be there because we're moving City Hall, so it'll just be police and court parking.
But, I mean, there is whatever building could, whatever, we could sell this, even if you went down this path and you sold the corner to, you know, put it back on the taxpayer market, then you're really limited what you've just done for your parking.
Well, and there could be, I could go back to the architect, and there could be that We want a handicap parking, ADA accessible parking close to the entrance. That's kind of a need, and the drop off. And then our other need is we've got to have secured police parking. And when I say police, it's that whole realm.
Yeah.
So it might be that we're able to accomplish those with a strip of a building on the front that there would be no parking provided, but what we can't do is have a shared parking lot. We need a situation where they come into a secured lot and are able to leave, do whatever activity they need to do, and then leave the secured lot.
A couple things that I would mention. You know, a few years ago, 50 years ago, round school buildings with no walls was the end thing, and they went up all over the country. And then shortly after that, they came up with the idea of building two-story buildings that you can put a third floor on. This building was designed to have a third floor, as was the Justice Center. It is a substantial undertaking. I think the purpose of where we're at right now is exactly the feedback you all are giving us. Ron and I have both been here long enough to have bought a piece of property, sold that same piece of property, and then bought it back again. And we obviously don't want to go through that exercise. And so you will more than likely, over the months ahead, see multiple variations of what could happen here. And we need to understand your feedback. I do want to stress, to based upon what Ryan said, you have the demands of the court, which we know about. We've been working through that from day one with this. You also have the realization that if you've not done the tour of the police department, I'm pretty sure all of you all have, at least I think you have, we've got some tremendous space issues in there. And while everything that we're moving forward with on Broad Street is fantastic, we also have got to come back and address this. And to Alderman George's point, Ryan's point, there could be, as we look at this more, other opportunities for private development to occur and still be able to maximize what our needs are. And, of course, the big thing that Ryan hit on, which is the unknown at this point still, is what is going to become of county courts. Will it be consolidated or will it remain as it is with Bristol, Buffalo, and Kingsville? And that obviously changes everything. But we will definitely continue to have a presence in this facility from the county standpoint for some time after we've moved out as we go through this transition process. And hopefully we'll be able to get a better understanding of what some of those factors are, such as court consolidation, before we get too far down the road.
Is this your last slide, Ron?
It's it. Yes, sir.
Board, it's open to you.
I think my feelings very much match Alderman George's, in that I certainly remember sitting here and looking at the numbers in terms of what City Hall the move was going to cost and the factoring in the sale of buildings, and that made it a much more appealing proposition. And I think I would ask Ryan today, I think $700,000 was the number that we used.
It was one of the highest ones, yeah.
Yeah, and so when I think back on our decision to move, you know, City Hall, that $700,000 would have been material to my decision about what we did. So I think that's a big number.
Refresh me, Jennifer, your thought was that we could sell this current building we're in right now for $700,000?
Yeah, we had it appraised.
The appraisal was done on 81, so when you look at the whole thing on how we were funding and where the money, taxpayer money was going to make it all make sense, the discussion was that everything we were relocating from, we would be selling that to put it on the taxpayer roll and not throwing government, but selling what we had, consolidating it to save people money in the long run, that we would be putting these things back on. And obviously, this is, I mean, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, well, I'm on board, I can't buy this and tear it down because I'm here.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you're thinking that the solution to the justice was add a third floor.
No, I was thinking that we would do the job. I didn't give the police department 18,000 more square feet.
At the time, that's when we started working on this master plan. At the time, I don't believe the police department's needs were in the picture. Yeah.
Sell with this. So I said at that point, what we were looking at was selling this building and a little bit of the parking and allowing the police and the other side to keep all the other, you know, drawing the line somewhere, because whoever buys this would tear this completely down. And then you could do it in, like, loft tops and a bar and a convenience store and lawyer's offices. I mean, you could do something on this street. with somebody here.
It might make sense to look into, I know you'd have to cross the street, but selling this piece of property and moving the parking or something and tearing down where the building department is and using that as the parking, because it's not such a prime location.
That's a historic building.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's
a,
I didn't realize it's a historic.
It's one of the first, if not the
first.
Never mind.
It's more true. I was good with tearing it down because I'm fine with destroying downtown, but
let us, if you don't mind, let us go back and there's some things that are, I guess you would call from our needs, and that's that the fact that. In years to come, if not this year, there'll probably be a CIP in that 5-year type window that says police department expansion. So if we know that and we're looking at it, then let us come back and start splitting this thing up a little better and see if we can meet all the needs.
Well, let me bring Chief Quillen up where we can see it. Chief, come on up.
Could we do parking under the addition? I mean, is there not a way to secure parking when you're building that underneath it?
You could get the same parking that's there now.
But under this 1800, could we not somehow design it?
I think what we would do is we would probably raise it up and use the kind of the footprint of parking that's there now and have this more or less like on a beach, you know, with the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand parking and I understand secure parking, but I don't like to give up Center Street.
Chief, I'm not asking you to design a building. I just want you to articulate the fact that at the time this building was built, the force was smaller because our city was smaller both geographically and in population. So it just me thinking through this, you need more room. Don't let me put words in your mouth.
excuse me. You're right. I mean, it's a much different look than it was in the late 80s. There's so many more requirements, federal mandates and different things, and the addition of professional standards units and CALEA and many different specialized units that are now required and, you know, quite frankly, expected by the public, and we have to make room, and we brought in more personnel. We're busting at the seams.
I think
your
detectives are on top of each other,
Brad. And they're not you can't fill other space with, they need to be within those walls of the Justice Center. The activity they're doing can't go backfill here and there and other places as well.
Correct. Absolutely.
Board, let me think through this real fast. One, regardless of what we do, we know the police department needs more room. Two, and Colette hit a sore point, some folks in the county would like to consolidate all the court functions at Bluntville. For one reason, we're the only county in the state out of 95 that has them scattered out away from the county seat. But be that as it may, it's awfully convenient to have the courts here, and we need to, if we're operating off that assumption that we're going to continue the courts are crowded also. And therefore, yes, that is a prime piece of property. What we're sitting in right now is part of the location downtown, and the parking garage is not totally full. Rarely do you have a lot of cars filling up the whole top, I guess, Daryl, do you?
No.
So,
4th of July.
Yeah, there you go.
About 2 hours over here. Well, like I said, could we look at, instead of taking Center Street, going the other way, closing down that road behind it, which would secure...
Market.
Yeah, closing that section of Market and tying it in with the parking over there by the... building. I mean, just, you know, if you're
going to
close a street, I'd rather close Market than I would close Shelby.
Let me take...
And that way you could have the front, we could resell the front, which was money, and then we could take that back, and it's not as pretty, and it's kind of off-center.
Well, let us try and reform the parking and see what we can get done. I mean, then the campus, the police campus would kind of
Go that way.
Move this direction.
Yeah.
With secured entry this way.
Yes.
Brian, how far over is our current building, would you say? Is it in the middle of that parklet now? On center?
Yeah, I think if you look at the three sidewalks, they probably are pretty close to the existing three sidewalks coming up. So that middle sidewalk would be right up to the stairs.
Which you could do something across the front with some side parking if you opened up all the back. And it said if you're going to close the street, to me that would make more sense, closing with the campus back there, and I don't know.
Yeah, let us come back with some. As I said, there's nothing's going to start, no dirt's going to start moving, nothing's going to be demolished.
But the plans for the actual Justice Center, what, you know, the add-on, that looked good to me. And I think that'll be a lot better on security, and I know you need more square footage, but we have all this extra storage room over there that we can just, one of it kind of looks like a jail, and we can just open some of that up.
But IT leaving will give them some of the square footage, not all they need, but...
That's for the courts. For the courts.
For the courts.
Yeah.
Is the IT space roughly equivalent to a courtroom?
We got two in it. We had to add some space, but we were able to get two in it.
Moving IT didn't help the police.
No.
We've actually got, currently we've got space on the second floor that I've got vice detectors in that are going to be displaced.
Yeah, they're not picking up any space with our rebuild at all.
They're losing space. I got, got to put them somewhere.
Yeah, and like Chris said, I'd encourage you all to take another visit through there.
And I get it, and I get they need space, but I just don't like the way you came up with it. I'd rather go up or back. I don't like losing. I want to make some money on something.
Well, we were going to start construction tomorrow, but...
But you asked me my opinion. I wanted to think you would get.
I appreciate y'all bringing me up to speed, because now I realize that this plan was tied in with what's going on in the new city.
All of it's tied in, yes, sir.
And that was a lot of our math, and we had lots of discussions because we sold the world on the road thing, which it is a great thing what we're doing at Regents, and it's all good, but it doesn't help the police.
Quite honestly, the next true decision point is when we go through the budget cycle and the CIP and we start placing some markers in the ground.
And the improvement building is a historical building.
It is.
But we envision selling it someday.
That's right. We would. The Midland Center is very easy to deal with. Improvement building, the feedback I've received, and I totally agree, I'm just telling you what I've received back from the board. Community through the board to us is there'd probably be some provisions in its sale, but to get it back in the market, and the feedback I've gotten is, it was one of the first buildings in Kingsport. That's where the improvement company was located.
Yeah.
John B. Dennis's office. And so, but there is a sizable parking lot.
And that was Bill
Albright.
Yeah, Bill Albright.
If we could take the parking lot, if we could look at that differently, maybe just take the building and take all the parking lot for some of the expansion and tie it in somehow.
I think we, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
Is to get feedback for lines on a piece of paper or lines on a screen. The reality is, and I appreciate this board addressing it, is that you have facility needs not only for the folks at City Hall, Improvement Building, Midland, the ones that you're moving into the new City Hall. You've got facility needs here, and you also have facility needs within other facilities outside of the downtown core. The Public Works compound would be another one. We've made a lot of strides in the last, 5 to 6 years to make positive adjustments. Yeah, but we've got more that we've got to make, and it's a good thing that we're going down this road to look at these things and have these conversations. We just got old buildings.
That's
right.
But you can't just always
make
parking lots.
Yeah, they've
overheard us. I think that's all my comments.
Well, obviously the vice has a lot of angst with getting rid of this building.
I hope I get rid of this building. I have a problem turning this building into a parking lot used.
Right.
For on Center Street.
You're not happy with that right part of that
slide.
Yeah, Mayor, let me come back with get the feedback I've heard, and there's a chance, and this is my thought, figure out some way to maintain some commercial presence here. We'll figure out how we can provide the parking, the secured parking that'd be necessary to couple up with this, whether it could fit over here well or whether it would fit still in here and maybe move some of this activity over, you know, the drop-off, the handicap parking to a different location. But let me just move around the pieces and parts.
Well, let me just be clear. I'm happy with looking at a couple of two or three different alternatives. So I hadn't made up my mind, but Betsy, do you have problems with, you know, losing this as a commercial space?
I do, but I agree with what Colette said. And when we made the decision, it was based on, you know, we're going to sell the existing buildings to offset the cost of you know, relocation to City Hall. So using commercial for, or using that frontage of Center Street, you know, and trying to scoot back, yes. Looks like a good alternative.
I could have them put the existing City Hall, whether that's the building to be used or not, but the existing City Hall here, and then we can reconfigure something over here.
Even if it's a corner, you know, you don't...
Daryl, you weren't on the board when they had this conversation, were you?
No.
So,
but I agree. I think this city block here on Center is an attractive piece of property, potentially to somebody, and just to turn it into a parking lot and not get any value out of it seems might not be the best use of this property to me, whatever we do with it.
Okay. James, is that where you are?
Yep, I agree.
Jennifer? Tommy?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to show us some more alternatives.
Yes, sir.
We hadn't necessarily scrapped this. We just want to see what
you're
else.
Right. That's why I brought it.
We all agree that
that's what we need
more rooms.
We're definitely agreeing on that. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right.
And the flag on top of the building.
If that's doable, you know. I mean, I like the patriotism.
Put that in the drawing.
If we go up to the field, is the post office still for sale on Center Street?
That's the question you have?
Well, I have two questions, but that's one question.
Okay, question one, is the post office across the street still for sale, Chris?
I am not sure. It's been for sale and not for sale for on and off again for several years. We haven't checked back recently.
Could you check back? Because I think that's an interesting thought. What's your second question?
My second question was, should we reconsider a 12,000 square foot addition for phase one? Like, is there a way to I know we've done a lot of work on this, right? But if space is a real need, is there a way to rethink phase one and how phase one looks so that we can get halfway there?
Yeah, I think based upon your all's comments today, we're able to go back and take our puzzle pieces and realign them to see what it looks like. And I think that's what we can do because, obviously, we don't want to move forward with phase one and kind of like where I said a minute ago, to buy something, to build something, to tear it down, to build it again. So we'll come back with a rearrangement of our puzzle pieces to see how all that looks. Right.
And I think what you'll see, and I think everybody was fine with it, this might come further this way. It's not killing the activity over here, but it's going to impact it a little more. And that would definitely give the police department a whole lot more breathing room if we can add a bunch more space. Because everything on the first floor we add would be theirs.
Okay. All right, it's like adult Legos, huh?
All right. Do I need to do anything over here, Chris, you got?
No, Ken's got a first item you all have is for zoning text amendment for the plan development zoning district. Ken and Jessica reviewed this at our last work session. This is an item now that's coming before you all for consideration. And Ken's got the public hearing, so.
I've got 1 second.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
On the employee wellness, it seems like our numbers, which used to always be in the mid-90s, are now in the low 80s. Is everybody well and not going, or is there a... is there a reason that all of a sudden we're not everything's COVID related? I figured it was, but
yeah, Yeah, we've seen a drop in utilization from the COVID standpoint. The kind of the thought of, I don't need to go. Okay.
Are we doing flu shots for everybody?
We will be, yes.
Okay. I think they're starting that now.
Yes.
Okay. It said to me, it was like we were always in the...
We've always been in the 90s. We've always been one of the highest in the care here system. But just as a result of COVID, we're seeing... there was a point I went not too long ago to pick up something. Usually I'm sitting there hunting and pecking through the online registration to find the time to go, and it's just like these massive windows of the opening. So it happens. It's, you know, same reason people were canceling dentist appointments and other non-necessary things.
Are we going to scale back our hours of operation, or do we think this is going to...
No, I don't think so. I think we'll leave it. I think, you know, we're getting ready, unfortunately, as you mentioned, we move into flu season, we move into strep throat season, we move into the stomach viruses and everything else, and that's, you'll see
and
it pick
it
up.
When all they have to do is run upstairs, I would hope that would be a huge savings.
Oh, my boy, will it be. I mean, it will be, from just a utilization standpoint, it'll be a lot easier, and, yeah, it, there's a lot of positives from... But from having the clinic located there.
Will the clinic open earlier at Regions? I mean, is there any reason why it wouldn't?
No, but there will be days, for example, Saturdays.
No, I mean, but will we be ready to have it operating at that location? Not open.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. No, I think they're planning to move in the same time that everybody else moves in.
All right. Sorry. Now,
no problem.
Now you said.
All right. So these are some changes to our PD zone. That's our planned development district. And as Chris mentioned, we saw most of this a couple weeks ago during our housing initiatives presentation. So taking a look at these, the top one there I have is elimination of the 25-foot front yard. And, you know, zoning yards, you know, what it is the distance from a certain property line that has to be maintained development-free before your principal structure begins. So in this case, or for the vast majority of our PD zones, you know, they're single family. And so as it is today, from the structure to your front property line, you have to have 25 feet clear. And that's a change that we put in from no setbacks to this 25-foot front yard about 7 years ago, the last time we had changed around the PD zone requirements. You know, we think it gives a lot of flexibility to design inside these PD zones. Any developer can put any kind of, you know, setback that they'd like to on there. If they, you know, plan on getting, you know, selling off their lots and they're not going to develop it, but they want all the houses to be back 25 feet, they can put that setback on a plat, and it must be adhered to. So we think it gives a lot of flexibility to the design. We also propose getting rid of just calling out that there's no minimum width or depth to the lots, and also that 12 feet access. Those are two comments that, you know, the person that did these changes last time, I think they had, you know, great plans for what the PD zone could be by putting these aspects in here, but we've never really, you know, dealt with either 3 or 4 and as when we evaluate all the PD plans that come in. We're also, to reduce redundancy, looking to eliminate the private street discussion here. The bottom line is private streets are to be built to the exact same standard as public streets. And so we're proposing to get rid of that language. In taking a look at the requirements, a lot of times, or in this 4 and 6, we're calling out plan submittals for the PD plan that are turned in anyways with the construction plans. And so we're proposing to eliminate the need for these plans, you know, landscape, drainage, calc, erosion control plans, a utility plan. Eliminate the need of having to turn those in with the PD plan because they're going to be turned in anyway with construction plans. The same as if it's a residential development that would be in like any of our R zones, R1B, R1A. They're not required to be turned in with any kind of plan for those zones. We felt that it would be similar treatment and further simplified if we took these requirements out as far as being, you know, a zoning requirement to be turned in with their PD plans. And last, one of the, really one of the bigger ideas that we think will help increase density is we're lessening the minimum required open space in these PD zones to 15% from where it is now at 20%. And also, as you can see here at the bottom, doing the corresponding units per acre density as compared to what it was before. And really you're just looking at 5% more of the property that can be developed as opposed to the way it is now. These are all changes that we looked at with all the you know, housing initiative partners in the past. And one thing with this density change, it's the essentially the same thing that Johnson City has with their comparable PD zone. And so we feel that these are appropriate changes for the PD zone and that they'll increase flexibility, simplicity, and density. During their August meeting, the Planning Commission voted to send a positive recommendation to the board to approve the changes, and the public hearing notice was published on 28 August. I'd be happy to answer any questions that the board might have.
Ken, I think one of the questions that came up during one-on-ones, and I think you answered it as you went through this, but mm-hmm. some of the required engineering drawings.
Right, absolutely. Yeah,
all of that is already being submitted by removing it from. It's already being submitted through the construction design process, which goes through our engineering department and is approved. We're just simply eliminating it here.
Right, and they're still absolutely. It absolutely has to be a licensed engineer to produce these. It's just that the requirement for that will be found in our engineering standards, as opposed to looking through the PD zone requirements. Absolutely, but yeah, that requirement is. 100% still in effect, though, for sure. Something we would never do without or try to omit from, you know, the actual submittal.
Ken, since our board meeting 2 weeks ago, have you had any more public comment about this?
No, we haven't had any additional public comment at all on it. No, we haven't.
Okay.
And of course, this is just a... You know, kind of a small portion of all the stuff that we looked at a couple weeks ago, because it had, you know, the housing initiatives presentation as a whole encompassed a lot more than just the PD zone changes. So this was just a small part of it.
But any of this that we're about to vote on, you haven't had any more comment?
Correct, yeah. No other comment.
Okay. Board, you all have concerns?
In looking at what has been coming to you most recently, I know I've seen several subdivision plans, are most, what percentage that you're receiving is developing as a PD versus as a neighborhood?
Well, you know, brand new residential developments over the last 10 years, probably 90% of them have been PDs. We only recently had an R1B, very recent, and there's only a handful of other ones. I'd say probably 90% of them, though, to answer your question.
Okay.
Ken, if you'll hit the PC wireless, okay. We'll run through the agenda.
Did Ron leave before you turn that back for you?
Yeah.
I'll be back.
He's hiding back there.
He's back there working on his leg, guys.
Yep. Got Minecraft open. Okay. Moving through the agenda, after the public hearing, next item you have is to amend our city codes, section 98, 497, 498, 499, pertaining to our traffic enforcement cameras. This is simply to make sure that our city ordinance is in alignment with Tennessee Code annotated. And so this is something you see routinely, state law changes, we need to make adjustments.
Okay.
Next item is the budget adjustment ordinance for various funds in fiscal year 21. In lieu of sidewalk receipt of money, moving over to a general project fund for AP sidewalks, allowing that to move forward in fiscal year 21, and then also transferring a whopping $95 from the general projects to the creative placemaking project through our cultural arts.
Okay.
Next item is a materials agreement for the Edinburgh Group LLC related to Gibson Spring Phase 3. It's formerly known as South Edinburgh. And again, this sets everything in motion for the appropriation of funds for the materials agreement. We have several second readings here. Do you have any questions on any of the second readings associated with primarily the budget adjustments? If not, I'm going to jump down to 6D1, which is award of bid for the purchase of 3 extended cab utility body trucks. These are replacement for the water and wastewater maintenance departments. They were purchased through Bigston Auto World and Bigston Gap. As we have stated in the past, our local dealers receive notice of this bid, but typically what you see in these situations is you have someone on staff at these dealerships across the country that their sole job is to look for these government bids and put together a package for the bid submittal, and that's the case here. Next item comes to us from the schools. It's the award of the RFP for Customized Benchmark Assessment Program to Servica Solutions. This is the program that the school system uses for establishing assessments and benchmarks for school systems. Again, coming to us from the school board.
That's
not an assessment. Awarding the bid, next item is awarding the bid for the purchase of 1 combination jet rotor truck. This is also a replacement vehicle.
It does.
We'll put it in a parade. Next item is approval of resolution to terminate the covenants and restrictions for Miller Park. Not too long ago, this piece of property came before the board for rezoning. This is a future residential development that is going here. It was determined by the developer that there was some covenants. We are listed on that. We need to agree to surrender those covenants. I think the developer needs 5 of the 8 in order to be able to move forward with the project. It does require your all's action to do so.
Okay.
Next item is accept conveyance of real property from the Industrial Development Board, KDB. This is property located at the intersection of Market and Clinchfield. For many years, we leased this property from a local individual here, Andy Brooks, and not too long ago, we were able to purchase this property. KDB subdivided it, sold the Center Street frontage to Regents Bank, and the portion that we've been leasing remained as a parking, and that's what we intend to use it for with the transfer back to us. Next is to renew an opt-in agreement with Metro Nashville Public Schools for the Education Networks of America, ENA, for voice services for a 3-year period. Next item is adopting the updated safety and health program as required by the Tennessee Occupational Safety and Health Act, TOSHA, through the Tennessee Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Mike, you want to add anything to this?
Not really.
Thank you.
Just following what TOSHA requires us to do. Not much change to it.
Very good. Okay. Next item is an approval amendments to the master documents for the flexible spending account and then also to our cafeteria plan. There are some adjustments that are being made this year as a result of the COVID virus. IRS is allowing some additional carryover as well as some additional contributions that can be made. And then also some adjustments to the cafeteria plan that you see listed there. Some of this is just simply our requirement. Other options here are things that are being done to increase the annual limits. That are allowed going on actually all the way up to the IRS limit for the flex spending account. Good benefit that we provide for our employees.
Okay.
The And the last item is to amend the community agreement with First Tennessee Development District. At the beginning of the year, we made a budget reduction to this along with our other partner agencies. This one, however, was formula-based, and so we're just amending that allocation to align with the formula. So that is your agenda. A lot of housekeeping matters on the agenda for tomorrow night, to say the least. Yes. Yeah. Tomorrow we have a proclamation by the mayor for Big Brothers and Big Sisters Month, and then we also have the KKB Beautification Awards that will be given by Sharon Hayes.
Part of that. Our minister has
a amendment.
What, Mike?
4C, C4 oh, yes. Tomorrow night will be amending.
Right.
Okay.
And I got that.
Okay. Well, I'll pass this out tomorrow night. Somebody will do the amendment. There's some numbers that need to be changed in that budget order.
Account.
If there's a whole lot of numbers, yeah, that's definitely. It's not. It's pretty short. In fact, I'll give it to you now if you want.
Yeah. Just to address that, yes, and we didn't address that during the one-on-ones, and as we are looking at managing the COVID money, am I getting that correct? The COVID money that we're getting back is the need for the budget adjustment. So what we are doing here, I told you before, we've kind of got two buckets of COVID money that's coming in. We've got the money that's coming in, the 1.2 from the governor, and then we have what's actually an action item on second reading, the 811. There's some time limits on the 811,000. You know, from a budgeting standpoint, it would help us to make some adjustments so that we can get this process through to take full advantage of the dollars available to us and also be able to look back at fiscal year 20 as well as the fiscal year 21 budget that we're in. So that is the purpose of needing to do that amendment. That was caught as we were going through the review of this last week, trying to make sure that we got all of our ducks in a row.
Okay. Bessie?
I'm good.
Daryl?
I'm good.
Okay. I do have one question this week. Uh-huh. I was doing a news segment on Wednesday night, maybe, for WJHL about the Halloween bash and about how we canceled it. And she asked me if we had talked about, as a city, what our plans were for Halloween. And I told her no, that I assumed we would be down the road. I'm just throwing that out there. Is the board going to talk about that anyway, or is it just, if you want to do it, and whatever?
We've restricted Halloween for special reasons in the past, right?
Well, I mean, the truth is that some people are going to do that regardless.
You mean trick or treat?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, people are going to decorate, and kids are going to trick or treat. I don't specifically remember any occasion where we did something special.
I was thinking just because it was real bad inclement weather was predicted, and we shifted it to a different night or something.
This is on Saturday night.
So
this
Saturday
will be
night.
This on Saturday. I think one time maybe when it was on a school night, they upped it one night or did it earlier, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to get big candy bars if they want to come to my house tomorrow.
Yeah, Roulette has the good stuff.
Oh, we get the big ones.
Well, what typically happens, I think, in those cases is even though you shift it,
people still do.
You get two
nights. Okay. Yeah. I know there's some streets in Kingsport, that really go all out with Linville and stuff, so I don't know if it's...
And I guess I'm not asking for an answer. I'm just saying I think that's things people are wondering about, like if we're going to make any decision on Halloween. It's not even, I don't even know if it's a decision we need to make, but I'm just saying be thinking about that because I don't know how to answer that question.
That's a good point, and we got some time to mull it over, so thank you. Anything else?
Well, just on that topic and relating to kids and Halloween, I sort of wondered about whether or not some residential streets need to be closed to traffic on Halloween. I always worry about kids on Watauga in particular. We don't have streetlights. then we could see.
And you get 500 kids.
We had traffic issues before.
Well, we do have one particular area that immediately comes to mind that we probably may need to look at just to have some discussions about that.
Limbaugh-Watauga
Street,
sort of
our,
you know,
we're talking
uptown,
down
and children,
Broadway
Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's encouraged that there's
no
parking
on Watauga and Limbaugh Street here on 2. Yeah. Which is dangerous. Yep. And there's lack of street lights. So, Chief, if you and Chris had that conversation, give us a little idea that's appropriate. Okay, anything else, Jeff?
No, that's it. Oh, that's it for James. Sorry, I thought he said Jim. I thought I heard Jim slip out.
It's the mask, does it?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Let me just add on to what James's question. The mayor and I sit in on a weekly call with the mayor, city manager, and health department across the county. That Halloween has not come up yet at all.
Right.
Obviously, large events such as Halloween Bash would fall into that, but nothing has been brought up at this point. So, you know, I think the Downtown Keatsmore Association was looking at some events coming up, and we've not received any suggestions and best practice guidance.
I don't know. Like you said, they're going to show up. It's like the Grinch tried to cancel Christmas.
I think you got to watch out, too, because to Jennifer's point, you know, about closing the streets, I will say, that whole news segment that I was on was about all the trunk or treats and everything else being canceled. So you're going to have a lot more kids out on the streets trick-or-treating this year that normally, I think one was like the Sullivan County Fire Department or somebody.
The Sheriff's Department.
Or Sheriff's Department, that's what it was. They canceled theirs.
Well, Saturday night. Saturday, you know, where it's not a school night. It's going to be Saturday and all that canceled.
Yeah,
I would think
just something to think about.
Okay, Tommy? Do you need me to invite my minister here? Or do you have that covered?
I asked Renee to help you line up another one. And
I don't mind that.
Is Renee Fry can't come?
He can't. He called and he's got something in conflict.
I don't mind asking him.
And I'll call on you if Renee didn't get somebody lined up.
Okay, that's fine.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Vice Mayor?
The county is going to have a called meeting Wednesday night concerning the tax increase for this year's budget in order to put aside or start building some money to look at building a new jail. So if anyone has input, that is going to be a called meeting on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. The number that was thrown out was an increase of 15 cents on this year's tax notice. So that would be what the citizens pay in February. It would go up 15 cents.
Which on a $200,000 house would be like $110 or something.
Like that. Yeah. I've seen that number. It's like $100 for two.
Yeah. Is that it?
That was it.
I keep getting contacts from citizens. And I get it from both ends. It's about masks. Some citizens say, we don't need to do this mask. If somebody's really worried, you know, they can take care of their own health, but Then others hit me up with, oh, I go into Lowe's or I go into a grocery store and there's a bunch of people around me not wearing a mask and you need to make them wear a mask. Okay. Look, my personal view is that after seeing a lot of data, and Chris and I get inundated with data, but I believe that, and you know I'm not a physician, but I believe that wearing masks have helped the rate of our cases go down. The rate of increase has gone down. I think all the science is settled in terms of we know there are groups that are more vulnerable than others. You know, the school system is struggling with this right now. And the current mask mandate goes through the 30th of September. And I know that the mayor of Sullivan County is is willing to relook this at, by the end of the month and see if he should change it, alter it, keep it, whatever. Any input y'all have to this, I'd appreciate. I personally, after wearing a gas mask for hours at a time in the during the Gulf War, this is not a huge inconvenience, you know. But some people they just get, you know, really worked up one way or the other. Either do away with the mask or make everybody's brother wear a mask. And this is going to keep coming up, I guess, as we get further into it. Y'all have any thoughts on that? You want to mull that one over, too?
Tennessee had 2,400 cases today. I mean, we are not past, you know, the point of things really being under control. So I think that's important to focus on.
If you're in a certain population group based on your age and your underlying conditions, you're definitely in a very serious situation. But on the other hand, you have to go out and go to the pharmacy or you have to go to the grocery store. I mean, you can't totally avoid all contact with people. And I tell you, some of those people that contact me, they don't like the idea of people not wearing masks right on top of them while they're in line or whatever, you know, at the cash register. So, okay. Anything
My
else
thoughts are they, you know, even if you don't believe in them, they can't hurt you, but they could help. So do it, you know.
Yes.
You know, if you think they could help in any way, then let's do this for whatever period of time and to do it.
I see it as basic consideration for your fellow man.
Because they're not going to hurt you, but they could, you know, they could help. I mean, they do help, but I'm just saying,
some people have a lot of difficulty if you have breathing issues, which you actually should be somebody wearing a mask, but I know some people it's very difficult to wear them, and it is a very...
Yeah, and I sent y'all something that Gary Mays had provided me on the situations where you should not wear a mask, like anybody under the age of 2 years old shouldn't wear a mask. James related a story to me today about in Miami, if they're out there just walking on the sidewalk downtown and not wearing a mask, whether they get fined something.
They get a ticket.
I think South Carolina's like that. I mean, you get a pretty substantial ticket for not wearing a mask.
Kenny has a little, like, you know, you have your reader glasses hanging around your neck. They all have those now for their masks.
Yep.
And they, you know, they have a little necklace for the mask wherever they go. Well, they put it on, put it off, and just have it with them.
My granddaughter's school they gave them the little lanyards with the mask, with the little school emblem on it that she wears every day. So, yeah, they don't think anything's about it, but, yeah, they don't. She just doesn't. She doesn't. She's four and didn't, or five now, so.
Well, I don't... Again, I'm 1 of 7 here, but I don't think I'm at the point where I want to write tickets. But on the other hand, I saw a Facebook posting from a restaurant. I don't need to mention the name, but the restaurant owner sort of wrote a letter out to all their patrons saying, look, it's not us making you wear a mask. We're just trying to comply with the governor and the county mayor's mandate and all that. And they were unhappy because... people had practically gotten violent with them. And the crazy thing about a restaurant is, okay, you wear a mask, you go in the door, but once you get to your table and you get situated, you can take it off. And so people are getting mad because they're going to have to wear a mask for 5 minutes, maybe. So I don't know. If somebody assaults a restaurant owner, we're definitely going to send the police.
On that note, one other thing. While we were sitting here, our elevator broke. So, I need everybody to take the stairs to get out. I apologize.
Okay.
Carry Tommy.
And we're going to carry Tommy?
Yeah, I think you can.
All right, anything else? Well, I'll see you tomorrow night.